What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Special counsel, I almost called him Ben. Special counsel Robert Hur, not Ben Hur, Robert Hur, is testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee. Robert Hur was the one that investigated and then brought no charges against President Joe Biden over his mishandling of classified documents. A couple things. This is going on live. In fact, let me see here. Can we dip it? This is Kevin Kiley. He is a Republican from California.
Damage to America's national security in order to make money and advance his personal political ambitions. Is that correct?
The report includes a description of the evidence and different inferences that reasonable jurors could draw from the evidence.
And you also note that the president described his predecessor's handling of classified materials as totally irresponsible. And your report concludes that Mr. Biden's emphatic and unqualified conclusion that keeping marked classified documents unsecured in one's home is totally irresponsible applies equally to his own decision. Is that correct?
That language does appear in the report.
You cite as a mitigating factor the fact that the president cooperated in the investigation. But at the time that the investigation was happening and these acts of cooperation occurred, the Mar-a-Lago investigation was already a matter of public record, correct?
I believe that's correct.
So we already had a public debate about the handling of classified documents and the potential application of the criminal laws to that general set of circumstances.
I think that's fair.
And so the president, when he decided to cooperate or not cooperate, had to know that that decision to cooperate or not cooperate would become known to the public, and he would be judged accordingly. Is that correct?
I'm not in a position to opine on what was or was not in the president.
But it's relevant to your analysis as to whether or not it counts as a mitigating factor. If he knew that he was going to have to be judged based on whether he cooperated or not, that would lessen its value as a mitigating factor. So did that, in your analysis, lessen its value?
That's
a great question.
A comprehensive assessment.
So that specific factor, did it lessen its value as a mitigating factor?
That and all facts relating to the president's cooperation with our investigation.
Another factor you discussed is a deterrence. And you say that deterrence actually, the factor actually counsels against bringing charges here, because you said, as for general deterrence, future presidents and vice presidents are already likely to be deterred by the multiple recent criminal investigations and one prosecution of current and former president and vice presidents for mishandling classified documents. So that one prosecution, of course, is the indictment brought by Jack Smith. So by the very terms of your analysis, Jack Smith's indictment actually counseled against and was counted against bringing charges in this case. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, Congressman. I don't follow your drift there.
Well, you said that there's already deterrence because there's this prosecution out there in a prior case related to classified documents. So we don't need to bring another case to establish deterrent value. That was the essence of your analysis, correct?
Congressman, what I'll say is that I will stand by the way and the specific words in which I characterize my assessment of deterrence value of a case.
Well, what did you say?
Principles of federal prosecution. That's on page 254 and 255 of my report.
Thank you. My time is out, but I'll just add the perverse implication here is that the administration, by the very terms of your analysis, actually made it less likely that the president would face charges by Jack Smith bringing an indictment. Thank you, and I yield back.
So that's a great point too. Kevin Kiley, I am impressed by this guy. I don't know anything about him. I've seen him appear in a couple of these hearings, in these settings. He seems to be really sharp and actually gets at the questions. He appears to be a lawyer. I don't know. I mean, he comports himself as an attorney, and he seems to be skilled at asking correct questions. I mean, he may not be a lawyer. He might, he could be a radio host. That's possible as well. No, those are fair points. So when you're weighing this thing like, oh, Joe Biden was cooperative and that was a mitigating factor. And what he's pointing out is that, yeah, but Mar-a-Lago, the raid at Mar-a-Lago was already known, right? And Biden was out there hammering away at Donald Trump. And so when it was discovered that he's got these documents, then yeah, he has to cooperate. In other words, his hand is forced because of the Mar-a-Lago publicity. So does he get the credit that somebody who didn't have like an environment where the Mar-a-Lago publicity was swirling? Had Mar-a-Lago never been raided, right? Had Donald Trump never taken any documents and the library of whatever ever gone after him, right? If nobody had ever gone after him for all of that stuff, then I don't know, would Biden's cooperativeness be of greater mitigating value? Yes, it would, because there's no other publicity around a case like this. And so, yeah, he gets credit for doing the right thing while nobody else is aware that that's the right thing to do, right? He just presents it out of the blue and just be like, hey, found this stuff, here it is. But that's not the reality. Trump was already the center of one of these stories. And so because Biden had already come out and ripped into Trump, and I know all the rules and everything like that, like you kind of now have to cooperate. His hand got forced. So it doesn't have the weight of mitigation that it otherwise would have had. Does that make sense? It's a fair question that this guy asked, that Kylie asked. And then when he was talking about the precedential or the deterrence effect, rather, that's a good point, too. He's talking about deterrence and like, well, you know, if you're trying to deter people in office from taking documents and stashing them at their homes and that sort of thing, what apparently her said was that, well, you know, the deterrence wasn't really necessary because we already had this kind of a case with Donald Trump. So the deterrence effect or factor is minimized because, in other words, we don't have to bring charges against Biden in order to deter others because we've already got charges against Donald Trump, and that will act as a deterrent against people also. But what Kylie is pointing out here is, well, that's a recipe for never charging anybody once somebody else gets charged with the same crime. So if Trump does something wrong, now what? I can go out and do it too because there's no deterrent effect to weigh? This is why people have such a low opinion of this stuff and these people. All right, let me get to some of the messages here. I do have another clip from Matt Gaetz I will get to. This is from Dennis. This decision by her reminds me of the James Comey decision on Hillary Clinton back when she smashed cell phones, deleted 33,000 emails, and bleached her computer. Comey concluded she was guilty but refused to indict her because she didn't do all of these intentionally, right? And remember, the no reasonable prosecutor would charge her. Seems like Lady Justice still has one eye open. It definitely proves again that justice ain't blind. Therefore, I conclude that concerning today's hearing, I've heard enough. Oh, I get it. Heard enough. Boom. John says, the last Democrat that spoke at the hearing before the 1 o'clock news needs to wipe his chin off, I can tell, but it, oh my goodness. Okay. Thank you, John. Thank you. I appreciate that, really. Tim says, Jamie Raskin, that guy is unhinged. There should be a sanity test for members of Congress. Well, as I always say, they truly are our representatives. Gary says on the Twitter machine in a Pete tweet, it is odd during Jamie Raskin's rant, he didn't mention the war in Israel / Hamas. Is his memory slipping? And I agree with the Democrats. Let's hold Joe Biden to the same standard Trump was held to for 6+ years. Let's launch special counsel investigations and lawsuits. So this is part of the impeachment probe. That's what this is. High crimes, misdemeanors, right? So there doesn't have to be criminal charges. The stuff that they're bringing out right now is enough because, as Democrats assured us when they were impeaching Trump repeatedly, it's a political process.
All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay. So what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply. at CarolinaReadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Oh, Jerry Nadler's talking.
No. I think it appears they may be getting ready to take a break for lunch or something. This is the special counsel, Robert Hur, testifying before the House Judiciary Committee. Okay. Hang on a second. I guess I do need to listen to this. He's talking about the book deal.
President Biden's 2017 book, quote, does not contain classified information, and there has never been any suggestion to the contrary, close quote.
Without objection. Chair, now I recognize the gentlelady from Florida, Ms. Lee.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Special Counsel Hur, for joining us here today to discuss.
All right. So Nadler pointing out portions of the report from the special counsel that there was nothing in Joe Biden's memoir, his book, that was written by the ghostwriter that deleted the classified information that Joe Biden had given him during their jam sessions, you know. So he deleted that stuff when Hur was appointed to investigate the case. But that book never did include any of the classified material. And so that's what Hur's report found. But that is not required in order to find that Joe Biden mishandled classified information and expose that information to other people who did not have classified access, right? Which is precisely what Biden did. Look, there isn't any doubt here that Biden had the material, that it was transported and located in various places of his domicile, right? And then it was transported to a townhome or somewhere or apartment. I think it was a condo that he had rented specifically after he was vice president. He would go there, meet with this ghostwriter, and they would have their jam sessions, and he would come up with write the book together. And this was so during this time, he's asked there were documents related to the Penn Biden Center or the Biden Institute or the Cancer Moonshot or your book. Where did you keep papers that related to those things that you were actively working on? And Biden says, well, I don't know. This is what, 2017, 2018, that area? Mr. Hur says, yes, sir. This is from the transcript. Biden, remember, in this time frame, my son has either been deployed or is dying. And by the way, there were still a lot of people at the time when I got out of the Senate that were encouraging me to run in this period, except the president. And I'm not a mean thing to say. He just thought that she had a better shot of winning the presidency than I did. And so I hadn't. I hadn't at this point, even though I'm at Penn, I hadn't walked away from the idea that I may run for office again. But if I ran again, I'd be running for president. And so that was happening, though. What month did Beau die? Oh, God, May 30th. 2015, one of his aides says. Is it 2015 he had died? Yeah, it was May of 2015. Okay, it was 2015, says the president. His lawyer says, I'm not sure the month, sir, but I think that was the year. Oh, yeah, that's right, Mr. President. And what's happened in the meantime is that as Trump gets elected in November of 2017, and then he has to be corrected. No, 2016. Oh, that's right. Yeah, 2016. I don't think, like, in and of itself, okay, the guy got a little squishy on the dates, whatever, but there's a pattern. It's not an isolated incident here. But if you would like to say that this is all just proof that he is completely not diminished and he is completely in control of his mental faculties, then okay, let's put him on trial. Oh, we can't? Okay, well, then let's impeach him. How about that?
All right, well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code word Pete and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. Congresswoman from North Carolina's Congressional District Number 2, Deborah Ross, just went on a five-minute rundown. I did not record it, but she just basically ran through all of the same talking points that all of the other Democrats have been running through, that a reasonable juror could decide that all of these mitigating factors are an innocent explanation for why Biden did what he did. He cooperated, so that's a mitigating factor. He probably could have been unaware that these things were stuffed in a box in his garage, right? So now we've got, this is Jim Jordan. He is now also, he's doing another round of questionings. Let me see here.
Chairman, what I can tell you is that my assessment that went into my conclusions that I described in my report was based not solely on the transcript. It was based on all of the evidence, including the audio recordings.
Great point. That's where I was going. So this was valuable evidence for you as the special counsel named to investigate this issue, valuable evidence for you to reach your conclusion, and the statements you put in your report. And all I'm asking is, shouldn't the United States Congress have access to that same information?
Chairman, again, it is not for me to weigh into what information Congress should or should not have, but what I will tell you is that the audio recordings were part of the evidence, of course, that I considered in coming to my conclusions.
I will yield back to the gentleman from Kentucky and hopefully can yield to the gentleman from North Dakota.
Yield to the gentleman from North Dakota.
Thank you, Mr. Hearn. Chapter 8 of your book, or your report, you detail that Mr. Biden retained in his Delaware basement classified documents relating back to his time as a U.S. senator in the 70s, correct?
Correct.
And even more Senate papers dating back to the 70s through 1991 were found in the University of Delaware, Morris Libraries, and in the Biden Senate Papers Collection, correct?
Correct.
And even more Senate papers dating back to the 1970s and 1980s were found in Biden's Delaware garage.
I believe that's, yes, that's correct.
And quote, Mr. Biden had nearly 50 years' experience dealing with classified information, including as a member of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, a member and chairman of the Senate Committee on Judiciary, a member and chairman of the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, and vice president of the United States, and that he was deeply familiar with the measures taken to safeguard classified information and the reasons for them, correct?
That language certainly sounds familiar, Congressman, but if you have a page citation for me, I can confirm.
And as Vice President, is it correct that in 2011, Mr. Biden received advice from his staff about the need to secure classified information in the form of notes?
Correct.
Including his first counsel, Cynthia Hogan?
Correct.
And he was advised in writing in 2011 by Hogan that classified notes must be obtained in secure safes and stored in secure facility?
Correct.
His second counsel, John McGale, also advised Biden that all of Mr. Biden's records, including his notes, would be sent to the National Archives, and Biden understood and accepted that, correct?
That's correct, with the exception that Mr. McGrail was Vice President Biden's final counsel, not his second one.
All right. And on his way out, Mr. Biden was also appraised of his obligations by the National Archives staff twice more that his classified notes should be secured in a SCIF.
That's a secure...
That particular fact is not immediately coming to mind, Congressman.
That's a secure facility to skip.
A page citation, I can confirm it for you.
Well, did Mr. Biden have 30 years' experience handling this information? He received advice from at least two separate counsels, the National Archives staff. He has demonstrated enough knowledge of the law to attack President Trump in public over the same exact issue in detail. This is where I get into this. I just have a problem with this. In your report, and this testimony, a reasonable person would conclude that Mr. Biden knowingly retained national defense information and failed to deliver it to an appropriate government official, and that he knew his conduct was unlawful. And I think that's where we end up here, and that's what the point is. Over the last three election cycles, there's only been three people who have ran for president. Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. All three of them have been accused of mishandling classified documents. Only one of them has been prosecuted. And that's what the American people see. That's what we see. We had Hillary Clinton, who ran a program called Bleach It on her server. They used hammers to destroy evidence. Joe Biden has a 50-year history of misplacing classified documents in numerous different places. All of these cases have the same underlying elements of the crime, the same fact patterns, and yet we only see one person being prosecuted. And with that, I yield back to the gentleman from Kentucky.
When time's expired, I yield back.
Gentleman yields back. The ranking member is recognized for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, and
Nadler.
In light of what the chairman previously said, I ask unanimous consent that all transcribed interviews taken by the committee this year be made public.
There's an objection to that. The gentlelady from Missouri is recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for being here, Mr. Herr. St. Louis and I are here today once again to focus on the real issues that affect our communities instead of partisan hit jobs.
All right, so it sounds, this is Cori Bush.
The potential mishandling of classified information is a serious issue, and I believe it was appropriate for the Attorney General.
All right, so what Nadler tried to do there was to get, I guess, certain other closed-door testimonies or transcripts released. I don't know what about, but that got shot down. Obviously, there was an objection to that, so that didn't go anywhere. Let's see, I've got some messages. This is from the Hellion, who says, Jamie Raskin needs an age-appropriate haircut. Okay, well, now, Jamie Raskin just, I think he's just gotten his hair back from the cancer treatments, from chemo. So he was wearing the bandana for a long time. His hair's now starting to come back in, so I'm not going to attack the guy for, you know, his hair growing back after cancer treatments. This is from Russ, who says, Raskin's description of the State of the Union, boy, I've long thought he was an unintelligent partisan, but that is unhinged. Yeah, I mean, just the description that Raskin gave of Joe Biden's performance at that State of the Union speech, that was, you know, soaring inspirational speech, and the way he took down the Freedom Caucus, the ninja hecklers, just, oh God, dude, really. There is one other clip I've got of Matt Gaetz that I want to play, because he basically gets Special Counsel Robert Hur to acknowledge that Joe Biden has been lying about this. One of the things they tell you in law school, so I've heard, is you never ask a question that you don't know the answer to, which, that's not something that they teach you in journalisming, I will tell you that much, because I ask lots of questions I don't know the answers to. As Carl said in the documentary The Simpsons, that's how you learn things. So Jerry Nadler apparently did not go to law school, or maybe went to journalisming school, because he asked Special Counsel Robert Hur a question that I don't think he anticipated the answer to, or knew the answer to. Take a listen.
At any point in your investigation, did you have any reason to believe that President Biden lied to you?
I do address in my report one response the president gave to a question that we had posed to him that we deemed to be not credible.
Oops. So he thought he was going to get him, like, to admit that Biden never lied to us. Yeah, not really. He kind of did. He also lied to us, the American people, as Matt Gaetz brought out.
5 minutes.
February 8th, the White House. Question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president, I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Hur?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yeah, so it's a lie is just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right. So the next one. And all the stuff that was in my home, was in filing cabinets that were either locked or able to be locked. That wasn't true either, was it?
That was inconsistent with the findings of our investigation.
Another lie, people might say, right? Because what you put in your report was among the places Mr. Biden's lawyers found classified documents in the garage was a damaged open box. So here's what I'm understanding, right? As Mr. Armstrong laid out, you find in your report that the elements of a federal criminal violation are met. But then you apply this senile cooperator theory that because Joe Biden cooperated and the elevator doesn't go to the top floor, you don't think you get a conviction. And I actually think you get to the right answer in that. I don't think Biden should have been charged. Don't think Trump should have been charged. But under the senile cooperator theory, isn't it frustrating that Biden continues to go out and lie about the basic facts of the report that lay out a federal criminal violation?
Congressman, I need to disagree with at least one thing that you said, which is that I found that all of the elements were met. One of the elements of the relevant mishandling statute is the intent element, and what my report reflects is my judgment that based on the evidence, I would not be able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt to a jury that that intent element had been
met. Right, but the reason you have that doubt is the senile cooperator theory, the fact that Joe Biden is so inept in responding that you can't prove the intent, which, again, I don't quibble with that conclusion, but it's frustrating to be like, oh, well, this guy's not getting treated the same way as Trump because the elevator's not going to the top floor, so we can't prove intent, while at the same time Biden goes out there at the White House and says, well, you know, he just blatantly lies. And what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not Biden's lying because he's still so senile, he hasn't read your report, or whether it's a little craftier and a little more devious and perhaps a little more intentional than we might otherwise think. So I also want to go to this Biden Penn Center. Did it give concern to you that the Biden Penn Center, where all this classified stuff was being mishandled, was being floated by foreign governments?
Congressman, we were concerned with getting to the bottom of all of the classified documents that were recovered during the course of our...
Yeah, but what bothers me is that the money that was paying for the place where the documents were being inappropriately held, it was the Chinese and it was other foreign countries. Did that play into your analysis? Did you look into the $1 billion in foreign funding sources at the Biden Center at UPenn, for example?
Congressman, we conducted a thorough, impartial, and fair investigation, and we were very, very concerned with getting to the bottom of all the relevant questions relating to the recovered documents.
Sir, did you look into the fact that the Chinese were floating the place where this guy was keeping the documents unsecure? Yes or no?
Congressman, to the extent that we identified evidence that was relevant and significant to our investigation, we put it in our report.
Okay, well, it seemed relevant to me, maybe not to you.
All right, so there's Matt Gaetz, right? Biden lied to us. Right? That's very clear. He says he kept everything in a locked file cabinet. Not true. Says he never did any of that stuff. Not true. Never shared the documents with his ghostwriter. Not true. He did. Now, this then gets to the, as Gaetz called it hilariously, I think, the senile cooperator theory, which then strips away one of the elements, which is intent. So if you, and so here's the key, and I'm going to tie this to the topic yesterday, where we were talking about the E. Jean Carroll case against Donald Trump and how that was a civil trial. And he was found liable, not guilty, but civilly liable. In other words, he has to pay. It's the equivalent of a guilty in the criminal setting, in the criminal court, but it's not the same because there are different standards of evidence, right? And so what this prosecutor, the special counsel Robert Hur, is saying is that he could not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Biden had intent to take the documents in order to make money on his $8 million book deal, right? Because he could present himself as the sympathetic elderly man with a poor memory. So that's the calculus that the special counsel is using as to whether or not to bring charges. He's got to look at both sides. He's got to say, okay, here's my case. This is what I could present. Here's the best case I could make. So how would the defense challenge it? How could a defense team bring about, and Biden would have a good defense team, right? How would they go about raising reasonable doubts in the minds of the jurors? And they could say that you didn't prove that he intended to do it, because you could say Look, the innocent explanation is that a bunch of staffers did it and Joe Biden didn't know. And look, they're in some box in his garage. That doesn't prove intent. Right? If anything, it proves that he didn't know they were there. Right? And a reasonable juror could agree with that. And all it takes is one. Why? Because it's a criminal setting. It's not a civil setting. Civil that they used to go after Trump with on the Carroll defamation case was preponderance of evidence, not reasonable doubt. Preponderance of evidence is simply which way do the scales tilt ever so slightly? 50% liable, not liable, innocent, guilty. 50% as soon as it inches towards one side or the other, that's it. You're done. That's the verdict. Reasonable doubt is a higher standard. And he thinks that he could not bring a case that would get past that reasonable doubt standard, the senile cooperator theory. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.